The fact that Michael Jackson spent time in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber probably added to the sense of fringeness about the therapy those chambers deliver, but hyperbaric oxygen therapy, HBOT, HBOT, has a much broader base than you might think. The hospital in Ashland markets its HBOT unit in advertisements, remarking on how much faster wounds heal with the therapy. Our next guest built a practice around HBOT. It is called Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, based in New York with a new office just open in the San Francisco area. Dr. Scott Scherr is a doctor of internal medicine. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thanks, Jeff. I love the Michael Jackson story.
It seems to come up every time, doesn't it?
It's so common because it was in this, I think, a magazine article back in the 80s, and it was actually him donating a chamber to the Los Angeles, I think it might have been Cedars-Sinai or one of the hospitals down there. And he actually used it. I don't know if your listeners remember, but he actually was burned terribly, third-degree burns.
Oh, with the Pepsi advertisement.
Yeah, with the Pepsi advertisement. So he got one for his house to help heal from the third-degree burns, which is actually an indication for hyperbaric therapy. So once he finished his therapy, he actually then donated it to the L.A. hospital in the area. And I think the picture was him donating it or showing people how to use it or something. So there's a real reason he was using it. It wasn't just Michael Jackson in a hyperbaric chamber.
It wasn't Michael Jackson being Michael Jackson. It was there was an honest-to-goodness acceleration of healing for that. So
yeah.
That seems to be the big – so hyperbaric, I mean, indicates a higher-than-usual barometric pressure, right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, so it's a combination of increased atmospheric pressure and increased amount of oxygen that you breathe so that you inspire. And it's just the combination of those two things that cause a massive change in how your body diffuses oxygen inside the bloodstream and gets oxygen to your tissues. And it's the pressure really that does it. I get a lot of questions about, well, why can't I just use like 100% face mask or just use oxygen via nasal cannula? It's really the pressure that does it. It's all about physics. It's called Henry's Law. And Henry's Law just says that the more molecules of oxygen you have under pressure, more of the gas turns into liquid, basically. And then the liquid oxygen gets into the bloodstream. Typically, oxygen gets transferred throughout our body through the red blood cells or on top of red blood cells. But hyperbaric therapy actually can bypass the red blood cells and diffuse oxygen directly into the plasma of the blood. And doing that allows much more oxygen to be diffused because the red blood cells themselves only have four sites for oxygen, whereas the liquid of our blood actually has unlimited potential for getting oxygen to diffuse in it. So in a hyperbaric chamber, we can get 1,200% more oxygen into circulation, which can be very, very helpful depending on the situation.
1,200%?
12 times more, yeah.
All right.
Or even more, actually.
So what is the pressure in there? I mean, how many atmospheres are you talking about inside a hyperbaric oxygen chamber?
So this all came from diving. So hyperbaric therapy came from treating divers who had the bends or the decompression illness. And all of the medicine is based on feet of seawater. So that's the way I like to think about it. So imagine you're at 0 feet of seawater. You're just on the top of the ocean. You go 25 feet, or in this case, 33 feet down below sea level. That's called 2 atmospheres absolute of pressure. So when you're 33 feet below the sea, all the water above you is actually exerting a significant pressure on you because water is very heavy. You don't feel it when you're floating in the water because you're floating and you're weightless in the water. But when you're underneath all that water is exerting a pressure on you because water is heavy if you're picking up a bucket of it, for example. So that's what we modulate in the chambers themselves.
And so the chambers were designed originally with divers in mind to be able to put them in there and get them to not have the bends, which is what my nitrogen bubbles in the blood,
right,
isn't it?
Right, exactly. So nitrogen bubbles out if people are diving, because typically when you do dive, you don't dive on 100% oxygen. You dive on compressed air. So in air that we're breathing right now, and air that's compressed for divers is actually only 21% oxygen. So 0 feet of seawater at sea level, 21% of oxygen in the air. And so if you are compressing air in a diving apparatus, if you're going scuba diving and you have your tank, that's still going to be 21% oxygen when you dive down. Now, even so, you pressurize 21% oxygen, more oxygen will be getting into circulation, interestingly enough, and we can talk about that. But the question about nitrogen is where I think we're heading right now, which is that you have 80% nitrogen in that compressed air. And if you come up too quickly, if you ascend too quickly, those physiologic changes because of physics make bubbles come out of circulation. And the bubbles can actually block blood flow. And when they block blood flow, they can cause seizures, they can cause strokes, they can even cause death. And so that's decompression illness. What hyperbaric therapy does is actually allow that nitrogen to go back into circulation and makes those bubbles smaller, because not only does hyperbaric therapy diffuse more oxygen into circulation, but it also decreases the size of bubbles. For example, if you put a if you have a balloon and you put it under pressure, that balloon is going to get smaller in size just because of the nature of how physics works.
Dr. Scott Scher is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a believer in hyperbaric oxygen therapy. He works in the San Francisco area, and he's an internal medicine specialist. You can join us as we talk about the value of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I can only guess. I mean, did people begin to use hyperbaric? And what do you call it, by the way? What's your short term?
HBOT. Right. The letter is HBOT.
Not
hyperbarics.
H-bot.
Okay. Hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Mm-hmm. HBOT.
All right.
Those are some of the ones.
HBOT's the one I went to. So that's why I was asking. So I mean, can I assume that the discoveries were perhaps accidental, that people who had the bends and had some wounds noticed they not only got over the bends faster, their wounds healed faster?
Yeah, I think it was understanding that hyperbaric air, so basically pressurized air, has been around since the 1600s. And it was actually before even being used in a diving capacity as a decompression illness recovery tool. It was actually used medically without a whole lot of research, whether they actually increased the amount of oxygen. Actually, let me take a step back. So think about it as if you have like a sealed room, for example, that no air goes in, no air goes out, and you pump air into it, that was called a hyperbaric chamber. If you suck air out of it, it was called a hypobaric, H-Y-P-O. And so there was medical indications throughout the literature in the 1800s using some of this. So there was some noted benefits of either sucking air out or actually pumping air into rooms. And so then when they realized with decompression illness that it could be helpful, it was just sort of, that's when it became a medical technology. This is actually where data started to come about. And then it was not until the 1950s or 60s where they actually started using it medically, understanding that not only did it help for things like carbon monoxide poisoning, which made a lot of sense, right? Because if you're flooding the body with oxygen in the sense of somebody being exposed to carbon monoxide, but also help with things like thermal burns. It also helped with things like diabetic foot ulcers and radiation injury from cancer. And wounds, like you said, but it was a progression. It started off as kind of, and this is some of the issues that we have in the hyperbaric field. It started off as having really no data and people using it for everything, and then it being used for decompression illness, and then after that being starting the process of being used as a medical technology for wound healing. And that's really what hyperbaric therapy does in the long run. In the umbrella, so big picture, it does three things. It reverses hypoxia, reverses low oxygen states. It decreases inflammation, and it fights infection, especially infections that don't like oxygen. And the end process of that usually is healing wounds, no matter where they are, faster than the body can typically do on its own, more efficiently, and sometimes even better, depending on where they're located.
Were you trained in hyperbaric therapies in medical school, or is this something that came later?
It came later. I did get some experience in medical school, though. In fact, my first experience was at a place called the Shock Trauma Center in Baltimore, where I trained at the University of Maryland. And as you can imagine, shock and trauma in Baltimore, those three things go together.
Yeah.
The Wire was a TV show on HBO a while back and kind of, I think, exhibited some of this. But actually, the military trains there because of gunshot wounds and things like that. But in the basement of the Shock Trauma Center was this gigantic hyperbaric chamber. And they were using it for something called necrotizing fasciitis, which is a terrible flesh-eating bacteria. They were using it for thermal burns, and they were using it for carbon monoxide poisoning. And when I saw people's dramatic response in this chamber using just oxygen and pressure, like no drugs, really, I mean, they were getting synergistic therapies, but just in the chambers, I saw people kind of like intubated on respirators walk out after carbon monoxide poisoning. It was basically kind of mind-blowing for somebody like me, who grew up pretty alternatively, actually. I didn't grow up thinking I was going to go to medical school. And looking for a way to kind of combine the alternative and conventional approach was my goal. And I found that this is just oxygen and pressure. And then I saw all this data coming out of a lot of other countries on patients with strokes and traumatic brain injuries, patients with reflex sympathetic dystrophy or this, you know, complex regional pain syndrome. And looking at all the gamut of things that hyperbaric therapy could potentially help with, that's when I got really excited. and I started pursuing it further.
You, necrotizing fasciitis, though, I mean, usually you have to cut out the infected area, don't you?
Yeah, but what hyperbaric therapy can do, it can stop it in its tracks. So I often think about if there's dead tissue, if something's dead, it's not going to come back. But if there's any potential life in the tissue, hyperbaric therapy might be able to reverse or at least stop the progression. So what I saw, for example, is that the tissue looked like it was dying on this gentleman. And he went into the chamber, and instead of being purple and dusky and terrible looking, a lot of it got pink and looked like normal tissue again. So it was basically salvaging tissue in this respect.
How long do people tend to spend in the hyperbaric chambers?
Well, it really depends. It depends on the situation. So each treatment itself is usually between an hour and 2 hours long. The protocols for hyperbaric therapy depend on the indication. If it's an acute injury, if it's an acute situation, typically the treatment number is between 3 to 5 treatments. If it's something that's been more chronic, more long-lasting, as far as something that's been ongoing for quite some time, then the treatment protocols can be longer. They do require daily therapy, Monday through Friday, with the weekends off typically. So if it's a 3-session treatment protocol, it's Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, excuse me, forgetting my days of the week. I don't know why I'm doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday in my mind. But anyway, but for the longer protocols, it's still the same. So if it's 40 treatments, it's 2 months of therapy. And there's a reason for that. Hyperbaric therapy works on the level of the cell, the DNA, and actually how the DNA transcribes proteins and regulates the cellular function. So it upregulates or makes in larger numbers molecules and hormones and cytokines and factors that promote growth, decrease inflammation, and prevent cell death. And it actually downregulates other factors that that are responsible for cell death and inflammation. And so hyperbaric therapy in the acute setting is just reversing low oxygen states and decreasing inflammation. On the chronic side, in the long term, what a hyperbaric protocol can really do is recreate the scaffolding or the support structure that may have occurred as a result of the injury. So repopulating it with stem cells, repopulating it with blood vessels that were injured, repopulating it with supporting cellular structures, or depending on where that is, it could be fibroblasts or like things that are responsible for making connective tissue, muscle cells, brain cells, etc. So it's really depending on the situation.
Grab your headphones. Let's take some calls. We're talking to Dr. Scott Scher here on the Jefferson Exchange about a hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And here is a call from Mark in Reading. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Mark.
Is there any comparison between HBOT and the crews of nuclear submarines who spend great amounts of time under sea level?
All right. Fair comparison. Thanks for that, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for the question, Mark. I think where you're driving at is that these guys that are in submarines are in a pressurized environment for long periods of time. There, as far as I know, there's no real studies on looking at the long-term effects of being in a pressurized environment like that. They are on compressed air, so they're not getting 100% oxygen, and they are getting a significant amount of nitrogen as well. But the good thing about being in a submarine is that they've figured out this technology over many years, and they have ways to mitigate any issues that you have with nitrogen narcosis or anything like that. So the thing I think about actually here is that there was a study done on veterans actually with traumatic brain injury, and they took them diving. They took them under the water, and they all had PTSD. They had traumatic brain injury. And in fact, a lot of veterans that are diagnosed with PTSD, unfortunately, actually have a traumatic brain injury. And that there's some new data to support that. About 2/3 of those that are just diagnosed with PTSD have TBI. And so these divers, these veterans went underneath the water. They, I think maybe for about a month or so, and had dramatic improvements in their PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And they all kind of attributed it in the study conclusion to being underwater and seeing the pretty coral. But they didn't.
Not about the pressure.
Not about the pressure. Not about the oxygen. Not about the hyperbaric environment that they were really modulating in that environment. So I do think a pressurized environment can be actually therapeutic, even if it doesn't have 100% oxygen. And that goes down to the actual physiology of hyperbaric therapy, which is that even if you just have 21% oxygen in the air you're breathing, if you're pressurizing that 21% oxygen, more oxygen is going to get into circulation. And so, for example, if you have about 15 feet of seawater, for example, and you get 21% oxygen that you're inspiring, that you're breathing, you're going to saturate about 45% more oxygen into circulation, not even having more oxygen in the air that you're breathing. So even in a pressurized environment, I do believe that there's probably some therapeutic effects. And I don't know about the data for the guys on submarines, but I'd be interested in looking at that further and seeing what the long-term what their long-term results were.
Thanks for that, Mark. Yeah. So you acknowledge yourself, and I noticed on your website, the bit of a controversy on HBOT treatments for traumatic brain injury.
That's true.
How deep are the studies on the results?
So there's been, over the last 5 years, there's been about 7 studies. And 5 of the 7 studies have purportedly said hyperbaric therapy is not effective for traumatic brain injury. At least in their conclusions. However, if you look at the data, and I've had a number of colleagues that have looked at this data from an objective perspective, because all of the 5 studies were done by the Department of Defense and the Veterans Administration, they were all done by the same researchers, unfortunately. And they all the veterans that got increased atmospheric pressure and increased oxygen in concentration that they were inspiring all got better. So if you kind of piece out the data, and there's a new study that's just going to be published in 2018, actually, that's going to show that hyperbaric therapy does have an improvement, a benefit in patients with traumatic brain injury. So I do feel that 2018 is going to be the year where we're going to see a sea change in the, I think, the outlook in the hyperbaric community and in the veterans community, that this is something that can actually be effective. And in my experience, Jeff, it can be dramatic. It can be a dramatic effect in patients with traumatic brain injury.
About 30 seconds, 2 questions. Wolfgang wants to know if insurance covers HBOT.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the other one is it uncomfortable? I mean, that much pressure, does it take some time to get used to being in that environment?
So insurance covers hyperbaric therapy for 14 different indications: diabetic foot ulcers from diabetes, radiation injury from cancer, chronic bone infections, and some other major things. And then there's about 40 or 50 things that are not covered by insurance that are extremely effective, and traumatic brain injury being one of those. Hyperbaric therapy is a very safe and very effective therapy, and it doesn't really cause too many issues. I would encourage you to take a look. We do have an open house tonight, Wednesday, December 13th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the at 1801 Highway 99 North in Ashland for healthcare professionals and staff.
All right, Scott, sure. Thank you.
Yeah, very much.